Welcome to the Ohana Life Podcast, where I try to bring to you people that will help you along your spiritual and wellness journey. I was able to have a great conversation with Shannon Crow. It really was wonderful to just sit down and converse as friends and really get to ask her the meat of really understanding why she does what she does. She has her hands in a lot of different things, yoga, pelvic health, technology, so many things. So I really wanted to understand how it is that she organizes those, how she gets started, what makes her get started in those things. And she was just so gracious about giving us her inside scoop to all of that. I really hope that you enjoy this and get something out of it. All of her information and all the different things that she does will be in the episode notes. So definitely check that out. Enjoy.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Lisa.
I just want to thank you for coming on today, for doing this with me.
I'm super excited to be here.
So we have some similarities. We both have three kids. We're both yoga teachers. We are both doulas, although I don't actively do it currently, and I think you're not actively doing it. Is that correct?
I'm not a doula. Like, I never took any certification. I just studied like birth positions and birthing endlessly.
Oh, okay. That's good. I mean, that's very helpful to students who come into class that may be pregnant.
Yeah.
You're also a gardener. We're fellow gardeners. We both live sort of on the east side of North America. So I just feel like we have this initial bond. But I brought you here today because I wanted people to know more of what you do, because you've been extremely helpful to me in actually many different areas. And you might not even know that. So we'll explore that today. But would you want to tell people about yourself?
Sure. I'm a mom of three. My kids are now 15, 17, and 21, and that all shifts this year. Like, starting in August, we go through a bump in age with all of them. I'm a yoga teacher, and I also train and consult for yoga teachers. And I specialize in yoga for pelvic health. So in my community, and then also I have a membership for pelvic health professionals.
So I'm actually part of both of those things. So I'm part of your Connected Yoga Teacher Facebook group, but also the podcast, and part of your pelvic health professionals group, which I find both extremely helpful. And I want to explain to people, or let them get to know you more, why you're so successful at these things, because I don't think you realize like how well you do these things to help us almost from your heart, but then also because, you know, you've known that this is what you're good at. So can we start with the Connected Yoga Teacher Facebook group? So how did that get started?
Sure. So it's been over 3 years ago now that I started the Connected Yoga Teacher podcast. And before I started the podcast, I actually started a live show. It makes me cringe a little bit to think about. Those videos are still out there circulating, but that's fine. We grow as we go. And that all started because I remember what it was like to leave teacher training and then feel like, oh my gosh, I'm just out here on my own doing this. Like, I'm trying to figure out business things. You know, I get really excited about some things and I dread other things. And so I was listening to all different people about small business, basically, and teaching yoga. And I wanted to bring it to a place where yoga teachers could really listen in to the conversations I was having while they're driving to class or while they're between teacher training and feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm out here all on my own. And the Facebook group started out as, you know, well, it started out as zero people, really, maybe me and a few friends in there. And it just grew and grew. We now have over 9,000 yoga teachers in there from around the world. And it's a place where teachers can post their questions and help each other and really also sometimes share. Like, we have a share thread where you can share your social media or an event that you're doing and just really gain inspiration.
And I think that share thread, is that once a week?
We don't have a regular share thread, so we used to do that, and then we decided, you know what, it's just I feel like if you have a regular one, some people will just pop in on that day and then share and not be in the conversation the rest of the time. So we skip around with them. We change it.
And then so out of that came the podcast,
mm-hmm.
which I find extremely helpful. You're a good podcaster.
Thank you.
The way you have it structured is so beautiful, and it just makes sense as you're going through it. And now that I'm doing these podcasts, I'm like, how does Shannon do that so well? Because you start with like this beautiful intro, and then you explain the person that's going to be on there. And sometimes you even pause the, you know, in the middle of the recording, you'll go, well, we discussed this after, so I wanted to include and tell you, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's so well thought out. And I don't know if you think it through that much or if it's just natural for you based on your background, but such a good podcast. So good. So informative. I get a lot out of it. And usually after I listen to them, I go to the episode notes and I, you know, delve even further. They're so educational. So congratulations on those. I just love it. But how did that get birthed out of the Facebook group?
So the Facebook group is great for seeing what questions yoga teachers have. Like, I had a list of ideas for the podcast, and that's amazing. But also I find that my biggest inspiration is in those questions from the Facebook group. In terms of how it's come together, like, I have to tell you, I did like, I think 30 episodes with my microphone backwards. So for you to say, like, I'm really gifted as a podcaster is a great, I think it just takes practice. Honestly, I used to dream about being on the radio. So I had like a little Fisher-Price recorder with a cassette tape. That's how old I am. And my parents bought that for me. And I always thought, I want to be on the radio. So I used to like record a song from the radio and then do the little snippet in between and want to be doing that. So maybe that's part of it. Like, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I actually listen as I'm thinking, oh, how cool how that person asked that question, or pause. So that's another thing that I've had to learn, is if you want to ask a question, you have to give a lot of space for someone to come up with the answer. And in order for me to ask the next question, I really have to be listening, which can be hard when I'm excited or nervous about interviewing a guest. And I think the other thing is that I'm naturally super inquisitive, and I'm okay to ask the question so that other people can learn along the way. And the last piece of it is that what yoga has taught me is to take something, learn it, and then practice it in your own life and then share it. So that's kind of what I like to do with the podcast is, you know, when I don't know the answer to many things, like all kinds of things, I can just keep asking the questions on the podcast. And yeah, and it's actually a career now.
Yeah, because you have a lot of compassion, tons of compassion for other people, and wanting them to not feel almost left out or with this lack of understanding. And so you ask the questions for us, actually. So you're sort of the lead to ask these questions for the people. It's how I look at it. And you do always find us the answers. It's amazing at how quickly you're able to do that and really pivot and find things, which you did really well during Black Lives Matter, which I want to talk about later. But I just find it so fascinating how well you and how good you are at it. So I'm glad that that's what you wanted to do as a child. So thank you to your former self. So how did pelvic health professionals come about?
So I started, right out of yoga teacher training, I started studying prenatal and postnatal yoga. And it just seems like that led me into pelvic health. Like we started having pelvic health training within a prenatal yoga teacher training. We had someone actually come in. And then I realized, oh wow, I'm learning so much from mostly pelvic health PTs and taking trainings that they were taking that I got really excited to bring that back to the yoga world. Like I felt like it was missing. That's where my interest came. I kind of felt like there was a lot that I didn't learn. Like I took anatomy in college, I took anatomy in yoga teacher training, and I had three children, birthed three children, and still no one was talking to me about like my pelvic anatomy.
Yeah. Oh, I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I thought, wow, like this information is really empowering. It was helping a lot of people that I was working with. And so then the idea came along of creating a place where, so I was hiring pelvic health PTs for like an hour of their time and asking them all kinds of questions. And I thought, how amazing would it be if other people who were also interested in this could listen into those conversations and we could build this membership. So I got on a phone call with Shelley Prosco, who was actually our first guest
Whom
in
I
pelvic.
love.
Yes,
He
she's
is
amazing.
so great. Yeah.
She is.
So wait, you were hiring them for continued education for yourself?
Yes.
Oh, so great. You're so smart.
Well, and that's the thing, like if you can pay for someone's time, you can ask them a lot of questions. I mean, the podcast is a great place to ask people questions. But these were more like, I'm working with this person, and here's the pelvic health issue that they're dealing with. And so, I can't ask those on the podcast. So, as a consultant, I was doing that and taking so many different trainings. And so, one thing that I'm so appreciative when I talked to Shelley Prosco, she said to me, "You know what, Shannon? These PTs and MDs and NDs, like these people who specialize in pelvic health, will probably come on and do it for free just for like a link back to their website and to get word out there about them." But she said, "What if you really set the bar and pay them for that time like you have been?" And so I was so worried when we started. I just thought, if I don't have enough members, I won't be able to pay them. And it's working out. Like it's working out so that everyone can be part of those calls. The questions really make the calls even better. People can submit their questions, and it's just done really well.
Yeah, it's a really good membership. I think I had just called you the other day saying, is my year renewal up? And you're like, you've only been in it for 6 months. And it's because I've gotten that much out of it. Like I've gotten so much out of it. And I feel like, yes, it's great for my students to learn more about what I should really be including in classes, but I feel like the bigger piece is me realizing things that I've gone through that I didn't realize were pelvic floor issues from the trauma of having kids. There is a tearing of musculature. There is a trauma to the musculature, and that these pains or pain sensations that people have been having were related to that stabilization of the bottom of the core four. And so these pieces have really clicked for me personally. And then it's been so nice to kind of add those pieces into class without saying, all of the specific anatomy there. But what a great niche. Is it niche or niche?
I say niche, but lots of people
Niche.
say niche as well.
I feel like niche just sounds better.
I
Like
think it's
niche,
more French.
yeah, because it has the little dash above the E, right? The little
I don't think it does. Well, I don't know. Maybe it does in French, though.
Well, whatever it is, I feel like you found a place in the market that is missing, and that's a piece that's missing for a lot of women, especially women that have had children, and to just be more empowered with that knowledge. You know, I always feel like if we can be more empowered with knowledge, then we are more empowered with our health and our day-to-day interactions. And that was actually one of the reasons why I wanted to do podcasts, is to just give people like you who have this differing knowledge in all these different areas that can really help them cope in the day-to-day life and not feel like they have to depend on so many other people, that they can then have this knowledge to really, you know, be inquisitive in their own minds about. So I appreciate this membership so much. And I can't wait for years to come when just knowing all the other questions that people have and the guest teachers that you have, that's what makes it these guest teachers that you know a lot. Don't get me wrong, but having them to direct, you know, doctor, or their doctors, right, of physical therapy, to ask these specific questions to is really, really great.
So. Yeah, it is. I learned so much also from our members as well. Like, our members have good questions and then have different things that they're trying out as they work with different bodies. It's amazing.
And so there's another piece of what you do. So I think I had to call you once and say, what are all the things that you do? Because now I have to wrap it around in my head of what it is that you do. So you also work with yoga teachers in their business and helping, yes, them define their business or start a business, or what is it that you do mostly?
So that came about when I was actually assisting different yoga teacher trainings, and I like to talk about business and the business of yoga. And so people started calling me and asking me for help out of the blue. And that's where the consultation part of this came out. And I actually think that what's interesting about this is one of the things my business coach asked me to do is she said, when you start the podcast, make sure that you're telling people how they can work one-on-one with you in consultation calls. And that was a big, that was a little bit tricky to do because it's not always easy to then sell your services. But that was a big part of my plan. And now this year, because I've been doing this, well, I've been podcasting for over 3 years, but I've been consulting with yoga teachers. I don't know how long. I'd have to look. Probably like 6, 7, 8 years, maybe. Then now it's smaller and smaller. It's a smaller and smaller piece of the work that I do. I still really love to work with yoga teachers and look at, yes, I love to look at if they define their niche, they can actually increase like their student numbers and decrease the amount of work that they're doing. Like, it's so much easier to market one type of yoga as opposed to, I used to teach 16 classes a week and I was just absolutely burning myself out. And so I get excited about that. I feel like I made a lot of mistakes as a yoga teacher. And then I got to a point where I needed to support me and my 3 kids on my income alone. And I had to make sure that I had enough money. So it was really like I needed to look at the money side of things. And then I looked at how that was actually happening. Like, and that's when yoga teachers started reaching out to me and saying like, how do I do this? So I still do a bit of that work.
I'd say you do a lot of that work. Maybe it was a lot of free during COVID. So let's actually go to that time frame, because I've really only known you for 6 months face-to-face through the membership, but I've been listening to your podcast for a little bit longer than that. And when COVID hit, yoga teachers, so you have about 9,000 members on that site, you were getting bombarded with, Shannon, what do we do? What microphone do you use? What pack do you use? Should we go online? Should we not go online? Do you have software? Should I have a website? I mean, you were getting bombarded with a lot of questions. And you had to really turn around and be like, okay, this is the need right now. And so you were doing everything you could. I mean, it was amazing, Shannon, to watch you in this calm space, because I think people can tell by now that you're a very calm person, but you take action. You were very action oriented. So you were on there immediately giving us resources and links and articles, doing podcasts about it. You were getting people in the know as quickly as possible so they could pivot their businesses as quickly as possible. And you were doing that for free. Even though this is what you do, you could have helped them individually, but you knew you could help more on a grander scale right away. And I just watched the people just get so much out of it. And even for myself, you know, I knew I had wanted to do some online stuff and wasn't really pushed to it because I didn't need to. And then when that happened, I just would watch the threads and it was so easy for me to pivot because I had already been exposed to you just like feeding us this beautiful information because you had already done it. You know, do you want to talk about that time? I feel like it was maybe 6 years ago, but it was really just March.
Right. Well, one thing about that time that maybe you wouldn't see or know as much as I knew is that I do see the questions come in and then I really want to help and take action. And I think that a lot of yoga teachers are like this. So I dove in, my email exploded, and I wanted to answer everyone's emails. And I can't always do that. And that's, or all of the questions in the Facebook group. And so that's when I started saying, okay, I need to either talk to people who have done this, or I need to share how I have taught on Zoom and create the resources. In that, I started working beyond my boundary days. Like, I put pretty strong boundaries on weekends and end of day. And that all kind of went out the window. And I think part of that is me coping with all that was happening with coronavirus. Like, oh my gosh, there's a pandemic. You know, your nervous system goes into overdrive. And I started to feel it in my body. I needed to take more breaks and do more yoga online with teachers. And thankfully I could, because we had put all of these resources out there. So I don't regret it at all, but I do want to say that as a business owner, it can be really tempting to just like see the need and jump. So if a bunch of yoga students come to you and say, we all have this issue going on, we need a new class added, it can be so tempting to say, okay, yeah, I can do that. And sometimes we have to take a little pause sometimes not, or sometimes we just dive in until we figure out, oh gosh, I can't keep up this pace. So that pace has definitely decreased, but I'm glad that it was helpful because people need yoga when they're really stressed out during a pandemic.
Yeah. Because one of the other things that you did, and this is, just feel like the list is so long, your resume, your brother created a database that housed all of the yoga classes going on in the world, right? The world. So I could go, what's going on Sunday? And there were, you know, hundreds of classes that could have been available to me, which had the time, the where you could get it, how you could register, the price, everything. I mean, that was a big deal to have something out there like that for people to, number one, advertise their class, and number two, to take classes.
Yeah, that started out because Renee Claire, who's in our community, she said to me, wouldn't it be so great if you created an online studio? And I just thought, oh my gosh, I cannot even fathom doing that. I used to manage a real live studio and it's so much work. And so then she said, well, I have this idea. I'm going to make this Google form and we'll have this spreadsheet. And like that lasted for a week or two until obviously the spreadsheet was not sorted and it was really unorganized. And the moment I said to my brother, who's a software engineer, yeah, we have a spreadsheet, he was like, you had me at spreadsheet. Like once you have a spreadsheet on your website, you need something else. So it's still available. It's Live Fit Stream, it's called. And it's completely free right now. He's doing this as a side project and just being helpful and kind. It's not his work, but I still can find classes on there. It's really nice.
It's really, really nice. I tested it out and I put one of my classes on there. And it happened to be on Easter Day. Do you celebrate Easter in
We
Canada?
do. We have like Good Friday and Easter Monday. So we have a 4-day weekend here.
Oh, that's very
Yes.
nice. So I did Easter Sunday, and I had someone from Canada try my class, and I don't know if there were a lot of offerings that day. I think that's the only reason, one of the reasons why she picked my class. So I picked a really good one to put there. But I'm still working with her. She's starting her own brick and mortar yoga studio, and it's just been so nice to watch her grow throughout. So such a great connection, such a great connection. So you, I mean, the connected yoga teacher is you connecting all of us. So I watch you on Facebook, you know, someone asks a question and you say, oh, and you tag a person that you know will know the answer. Like you just know who is going to be able to help this person the most. That's a great skill.
I love like I live for connecting people. I will get distracted doing like connection emails. I'm like, oh shoot, I've done like three of these. But usually when I do a call with someone, I'm like, oh yeah, this person would help you out. And it's a big thing to find those people because there are more of us in communities where and you'll hear these people, they'll be somewhere and they're like, oh, you should meet with my, massage therapist. She's amazing. That's one of those connectors. So if you can find them, they're really good at spreading the word about your yoga business.
That's true. Word of mouth is always the best advertising. Can we go to the week of, well, Black Lives Matter. They've always mattered. But there was this one week where you had said, I'm going to sort of shut down what I would normally do to really create this platform for what is happening in the world and what needs to happen and for us to kind of educate. And for me, you know, when Corona had started, I felt like go time. I felt like this is the time for me to kick in. I've been training my whole life for this. I know exactly how to help people. When it came to Black Lives Matter, I wasn't really in the know as much as I wanted to be. And it was very evident then that I had no contribution whatsoever to help people. And so another thing that you did was this Facebook group was like, hey, have you guys heard about this book? And hey, there's this webinar coming up that might be really helpful for you to learn things. We're being told to take this opportunity to really sit back, reflect, listen, learn. Unless you've already done those things, then you have a different task right now. And I mean, Shannon, it was so helpful for me to have that week to really, even for my own business, to just pause and then kind of follow your lead. I know that you think you stumbled along and maybe you have, and I just haven't seen it. But it was so helpful to have some thread to grasp onto to start, you know, like for us beginners in that particular type of topic. And so do you want to talk about maybe how that week was for you and how you're still continuing? Because I just listened to one of your podcasts this morning with Michelle. And really good. It continues to help us. But do you want to talk about that?
Sure. I think, well, an interesting piece is for a while, behind the scenes with my team, with my podcasting team, and with some other podcast friends, I was like talking about how to get more people of color on my podcast. That has been happening behind the scenes. Small conversations here and there. And honestly, the week that everything hit and the week that George Floyd passed away or was murdered, it felt like I had not been seeing what was happening for what it was. I had heard Black Lives Matter. I'd seen friends post things online. And I've been reflecting on this for a while. So I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, trying to listen to different voices with different opinions. I definitely did not have the answers at all in that spot. And it wasn't up to me. Like, I don't specialize in doing anti-racism work. So it wasn't up to me to have the information. It was just up to me to sit back and be quiet. I mean, that week I was supposed to be launching and opening the doors to pelvic health professionals. And I still opened the doors, but I didn't do any promotion of it. I made that choice in my business. And it was only my role, and it wasn't easy to be. And there were so many little pieces of this as a white business owner of, like, kind of being in shock that this is a thing that exists in our world. Like, why hadn't I seen it in the same way when other people were talking about Black Lives Matter? Which is interesting to me that we didn't see it. And I've been there's a conversation, and I cannot remember who the guest was, on Brené Brown's podcast, and she said, us as white people, we want a bunch of rules right now to follow. And her guest, who's a black woman, was saying, yes, white people love rules. And Brené said, do you know why we love rules? And she's like, I don't know. I just think that you love them. And she was like, we love them because we're protecting ourselves. Like, if we follow those rules, we are protecting ourselves. And I think that is one of the things that rippled across small businesses, honestly. And that doesn't make me feel proud as a white business owner that that was the fire underneath us, but I think it was there because the message was like, if you are being silent right now, you are part of the problem. It's time for you to listen. It's time for you to. And then there was this whole thing of calling out, which is a whole other topic. So I do not feel like. And the other piece that came in for me was like a sense of panic of like, oh my gosh, I need to pivot. Like, I honestly called my mastermind group and was like, I can't interview any more white people. I mean, that's really not the answer. That's not the way I've ever podcasted. I've always gone for someone who could answer my questions really well.
Right.
It was like a reaction, like a knee-jerk reaction. And it wasn't until like that interview that you're talking about with Michelle. I was supposed to do this other interview on the Live Like You Love Yourself podcast, and they still wanted to go ahead with it. And I was like, we had a whole conversation where I had a lot of questions for them. Like,
Yeah, I listened to that one as well.
yeah.
Yeah, I've listened to a lot of your podcasts.
I feel like I've just scraped the surface of this, honestly. I felt like as a mom, I had not given my kids all the information that I could have given them. It almost felt like, oh my gosh, like if I could rewind time and then teach them in a different way. I mean, society is teaching them in a huge way right now. And they're great kids, like they believe in like equality, but I felt like I hadn't given them like strong anti-racism or, all of this stuff feels really new to me. And then I'm questioning why is that? So I've had some good conversations with people in my family, like especially my parents. My parents were had me in the 70s, so to like chat with them about race and color has been really interesting. And I've let go of this idea of there's no, here's the thing that is still an issue for me. I see a problem and then I want to do the action to fix it. And all I can do, which almost doesn't feel like enough, is like do my own work. So, I wanted way bigger things. I want photos of diverse yoga teachers. I want access to those photos, and I want to tell people, we have a small list on the Connected Yoga Teacher page as resources. So that's one tiny thing. But this doesn't come until we, like, it's like those photos are, one piece of it. We might not see a black yoga teacher as much as we see a white woman doing yoga in the images, but there's a lot more going on underneath that.
Yeah, it's the inquiry and the pausing, you know, and it did actually feel really good to pause that week and just reevaluate everything, because I really have always tried to look at cultural appropriation and anti-colonialism and spiritual bypassing and all these other pieces. But the Black Lives Matter piece, the anti-racism, I just hadn't had, I guess I haven't, I've had the privilege of not having to head work on it because I haven't seen anything. And I don't go on the news that much. I don't watch TV that much. I'm not on the radio that much. I don't listen to the media stuff that much, to have it bombarded all the time. So I didn't know, and that's not good.
It's not good. And we can't, like, I feel like we can only take in so much at a time. And then there are times where we really have to take a look at, you know, this reminds me, someone reached out to me. It was a question in our Facebook group, or someone wanted to post a question about acknowledging the land of the Native Americans where you are. And I didn't even know what they were talking about. And I think that's the other thing that, and I live on Native American land. We have a lot of Native Americans around me. And I've worked on the reserves. And so here's the other piece for those who, like, let's say you're teaching a yoga class or you're out with your friends. Like, if you, this is the way I am entering a conversation, is kind of like in my real life, not on the podcast where I can pause for a minute and think, but I sometimes just go in too fast, you know? Yeah, I know so. I know so. And I want everyone to have the same awareness. Like, now it's hard if you, like, let's say I have to go to a family reunion and I talk to my great uncle and he's like, says something that's really inappropriate or sexist or whatever. I'm frustrated. And in our Facebook group, let's say a yoga teacher posts about going to teach beer yoga. My initial reaction is like frustration, I have to be honest. But if I don't, like, if I just tell them, like, that's ridiculous, there's no conversation. That's just my opinion. Like, do you know what I mean? If someone came to me the week before everything hit with George Floyd and George Floyd was murdered, if someone came to me and said, I want to post about Black Lives Matter in the Facebook group, would I have listened? And I'm learning, like, I'm learning. I don't actually know how to put it into words, but this is where I try to have conversations where everyone feels like they can ask questions safely. It's really important. Otherwise, people just feel like an outsider and they feel like they, and that's just frustrating. You don't even want to, you know, why try and learn from, in that environment? I hope that makes sense.
No, it does. But, you know, bravo to you for having such a huge platform, which makes you a leader. And then you're the one who has to make the mistakes for us all to learn from, right? It takes courage to start something like that, like have this huge platform for yoga teachers. You know, I'm part of two other yoga teacher groups on Facebook. I actually don't even go through them at all, ever. I don't know why I even went in them, but they're very negative and just there's no rules. You know, there's supposed to be rules, but there's no rules. And they can get a little out of hand, whereas I feel like every single post in yours, every single question in yours is addressed like it is the most important thing. And, you know, you take into consideration that these are people, these are humans, they're valid concerns. How does it work in the bigger picture? How does it work in a yoga group versus, you know, a private pelvic health professionals group? It's, you know, just kudos to you for the work that it takes to continue having this large presence and in these changing times.
Our not team. Only has it. Oh, sorry.
You have a big team. Yeah.
Our team is so good. And they often will say to me, like, they'll say something and I'm like, oh, I didn't even think of it that way. You know, so it's not just the hours that they're putting in, the work that they're putting in, it's their input as well, which is so good. Like, we have a variation of people that have different opinions, and I like that has been a gift. It's not always easy, you know, if everyone thinks that we should do something different with a post. And the other thing in our Facebook group that's made life a lot easier is now you have to have a, like, posts have to be approved. So they kind of hit that wall, they sit there and they wait, and then our team goes in and is like, yes, no, yes, no, because we don't want people selling sunglasses to our group.
Yes, but those Ray-Bans are always on sale. We always want to tell people about that. I don't want to deter the people who aren't on Facebook, because there are a lot of people that aren't on social media that, or are just on Instagram and not on Facebook, or just on. But I do feel like what I want people to know is a little bit about you and what you have to offer, because you have a website. You know, you're very you know, reachable, and easy to talk to and gain access to if people should have questions or want you for services. But I just think it's this overall arching piece of you that is just, that I just, everyone needs to know how you work, how your head works, how your thought works, why you start these things, how you start things. Because right now is a period of time where people are starting new things.
Right.
They're either changing careers, they're changing their businesses. And so whatever it is that they decide to do, they now have an idea based on how your thought process went in these different pieces of what you do, so that they just can start to think along those lines of, it may not work great at first, but you have to try it. There has to be a little failure piece, possibly.
Yeah.
Not everything works out great the first time, and things change.
Yeah.
And it's
things change in a hurry. That's right. And the failure piece, honestly, like, I feel like that's a regular thing. I don't think there's just like some failure at the beginning and then it's smooth sailing. Like, I try stuff all the time. I tried to open another membership and my whole mastermind told me, don't do it, don't do it. And I thought, I'm just going to give it a go. And
well,
just,
you know, I'm in that one. I'm one of your biggest fans. So.
And now it's just sort of sitting there. Like, there are pieces of that and I'm taking a look at it, but there are, you know, to plan out your business, I think here's a big thing for anyone who's looking at doing an idea. You really do have to sit down and look at revenue. Like, if you were to be your own banker, you know, you're going to invest this time and this money into this thing. How do you plan on making money from it? And yoga teachers, I know, because I'm one of them, we often get uncomfortable with thinking about, how am I going to make money doing this thing? You know, you can provide tons of free stuff if you want to, but at the end of the day, if you don't get paid for it, you can't keep doing that thing. And like, there's a lot of work to working for yourself, for sure. It's not like it's just a walk in the park, but you can find, like, ooh, this thing that barely feels like work that people really need and want. And that's kind of the sweet spot of running a business.
Yeah, where it doesn't feel like work.
Mm-hmm.
And the days that it does, you're like, oh, boy, I've been missing out.
Exactly.
So the last thing that I wanted to talk about was sort of your thought process for each day. And one of those things was, and I heard you say this somewhere, could have been one of these different platforms, was that every day you sit down, you write the list of things that you want to do for the day. But the biggest thing is, what one of these could possibly produce income?
Yeah.
Because that to me was like, oh, that shifted everything I did actually in a day. Was like, well, why don't I do my Facebook post or Instagram post now, or this specific email before I do all the other free stuff, right? Like, instead of saving that for last and maybe missing it throughout the day. And so you have, so talking about that, and then like, you're organized. I think you think it's chaos in your head, but when you present things, even in your membership, you know, it has an order. So it almost seems like you go, any questions that you have, just submit them to me. And then it's like you clump together all the questions that might be similar. And I just, what is your organizational process? Because I think I'm pretty organized, but then I think, oh my goodness, Shannon is well beyond that, sticky notes. So maybe giving some people an idea of like, what is a good organizational day that would benefit them for productivity? Whether it be personal, professional, anything.
Okay. Well, one thing is I started studying bullet journals a long time ago, but if I start a journal with the whole idea that it's going to be pretty, then I never finish that journal. I just want to start another one as soon as a page gets messy. So I let that go. I keep one book. It's just like a spiral bound, you know, one of those five subject books that you will get at any office supply store. And that's my quote unquote bullet journal. And I'll divide it up and I'll write things in there about my plans, but basically everything is in that book. So I don't have 25 books all over the house, which I used to do. Like, this book is for this thing and this is for this other thing. And that whole idea of like brain dumping is really helpful for me if I feel like I'm have so many things swimming around in my mind that I can't just like decide what is the first thing that I want to do. And the brain dump isn't even a to-do list. It's just like writing everything down. I've started this new thing. And that's the other thing. I like to try things out, and I'm thinking about actually bringing this to our pelvic health professionals, maybe on the podcast, but I want to make sure that I can work through it in my mind and probably work through it with like a couple of friends, and maybe some like our membership would be a good place to try it out. And then maybe it becomes a podcast. But when COVID hit, you know, I like to plan for the whole next year. I actually like to do a 5-year plan. Now it feels like, what's happening in 5 years? Like,
we will never know, actually. We don't even know what happened over the past 5 months.
I know. So I have started to just plan for the next month. And sometimes it might be like just the next week or just the next day, you know? I think that we are living in a time when there's a lot going on for the entire world. So we have a lot of information coming at us. And if you're a yoga teacher or a business owner, like things have all shifted and changed. And so you have to give yourself grace around, you know what, I might not be able to do the same amount of work that I could do before. So I like to choose at least one thing that will focus on revenue or growth in my business. And that's like one a day. So if I looked at that list, and there are tons of things on my list that do not equal that at all, I need to find something on there. And so what I've started to do is even on my month calendar is to write down like, you know, my for that entire month, what is my goal? Like an example is I have a teacher training coming up and I want to fill it. And I know all I have to do is send out an email, but why does that always get down the list? Like it's because it's harder to promote ourselves and sell than do other things. So I'm just as guilty as doing the busy work instead. So it's just at the top of the list. And then I have to decide, like, have I done something to promote that or try and fill that today? And sometimes that also means reaching out to people who told me they were interested and it's just gone by. So I keep lists like that. And there are times when that feels like I'm really focused on sales. The thing is, if I can keep reminding myself that person will benefit and then their entire community will benefit by learning about pelvic health, that's what this training is, then this, it's not like I'm selling something that isn't going to benefit people. This is really beneficial. So I definitely go through the mindset stuff. In terms of organization, I mean, you really have to find what works for you. So I still love to try different organization things on, but tiny baby steps. Like, let's try this thing. Let's see how it works. Let's modify it for me. And then if it works for me, I might share it, you know, if I feel like it would help other people.
You also seem to learn new software, because I know when COVID was happening, you know, everybody was asking you, like, for me, I just go, I use Mindbody. That's the end of it. You're like, well, I use Schedulicity, but you could use Acuity. Well, oh, is that not working? Okay. There's also this other one that I just trialed to see, and I got in touch with the company rep and they told me that it will do X, Y, and Z. I mean, you were doing like dissertations on all these software platforms. And even like you do StreamYard now, which is a way to stream like a live through YouTube and Facebook. And you could go to, I don't know, what were the other ways?
Well,
already forgotten.
that it's true. I do like if I saw somebody using StreamYard on YouTube, and I do like to really geek out on that. Like, social media honestly isn't a dread of mine. There are times where I get frustrated with it, for sure. But I used to listen to a podcast like Social Media Examiner, where I would just listen to one show and just try and take away one piece of what they were talking about and then go and do it in my business and try it on that week. So I get excited about those things. I saw someone use StreamYard and thought, well, this is cool. I'm going to go and check it out, do the trial, see how it works. I don't mind doing that. Yoga teachers have been asking about microphones all the time. So I bought 3 wireless microphones to try out. Like, I asked people what are the most common, and then I wanna do that.
Yeah, it's really great how you do it and you're not afraid to tackle technology, because we do know that now technology is going to be a larger presence for a long time, if not forever. Mm-hmm. And you tackle it, you figure it out. You're like, you just have to navigate around and just see what it does and see what it doesn't do and not be afraid to fail. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but at least you've tried it.
Right. I can't say the same for Snapchat and TikTok.
I don't do those either. I know, it's so bad.
I'm not writing it off yet, but
I think we would do great at TikTok,
actually. Well, my daughter's like, go watch this thing, and I'll get absolutely sucked into it. And I think, oh gosh, this is addictive.
Well, sometimes my daughter will come near me and I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. And then I realize she's doing a TikTok. And I'm just in good lighting where the phone can be. So I'm in the background, you know, doing mom stuff. And she's like, okay, now you ruined it. Now I have to go find another. But that's my role in TikTok so far. But the important things, these ways for business, for productivity, for getting the word out. And you know, I think that you're similar in me in that we're trying to serve others and get people information so that they can succeed in life. And you do that really, really well. And you're not afraid of technology. And I try and do it more in person. One person at a time. You're like, I'm going to hit 9,000 at a time and see how it goes. So I do appreciate that about you as well, because I think it takes a certain strength in somebody to tackle things that haven't been done, or be the leader of someone to say, all right, well, I'll try StreamYard for all of us, and I'll let you know how it goes. So I do appreciate all the things that you've taught me throughout this 6 months. I mean, I'm telling you, it feels so much longer. Gosh, I've learned so much. Is there anything else that you think you want to add that people may or may not know about you that you'd want them to know?
I don't think so. When you're talking about all these things, I'm just sitting here thinking, wow, I do have a lot of interest in different things. If I could kind of summarize it, who was it that did the talk on it? Oh gosh, passion versus curiosity. That's the one thing. Oh gosh, I can see her face and I can't think of her name. It's a YouTube video. I think it was a TED Talk. But I think it's important to think about, like she was talking about how passion is sort of like if you have one of those hammers that go into cement, jackhammer, that's it, then you just stay on this one thing and that's all you can focus on and think about. And some of us are like that. And others are more like a hummingbird, like kind of flitting around. And we don't know how that's all going to tie in together. I think it was Elizabeth Gilbert. Anyway.
It might have been. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we don't know how that's going to play out, but we're kind of just dipping in this and dipping in that. And that's how I feel like things have gone. I didn't know the plan. I know what I'm excited about and curious about, and I've sort of followed that. So I would encourage people to check out, like, what am I excited about? It might be something completely off the wall. Like this, there's an Instagram account. It's called White on Rice. It's this man who folds origami. And he was folding origami on his lunch breaks and working a 9-to-5. And he loved doing it. And eventually, someone actually, he decided, I'm going to post Instagram every single day and post this fold that I do. And eventually someone hired him to do a party, and he was like, oh my gosh, someone's going to pay me to do this. And that's all he does now. He doesn't have another job. He literally folds origami for a living. So, you know, what is your like folding origami kind of thing? That's just what I'd like to ask.
And people. It's the time, like this is the time where you could do whatever you want.
Yes.
You know, this is the time that if you're going to make a change, the world is in change right now. It's the time. Do it. Start it up and do it. That reminds me of when I used to homeschool the kids, someone had put together this like business sale for the students or for the kids. So basically it was like a shop. We were just in a cafeteria with a table, but you bought your table and the kids would sell something that they were good at making, right? So some kids were selling like soap that they had made. Some had made candles. Some had made these little box kits with like survival, like a fishing hook, tin foil, a candle, whatever. My daughter had said, well, I'm really good at making paper airplanes. And so she was like, I'll just make paper airplanes. I'm like, okay, you can do whatever you want. I think she was like 5, you know?
Right.
So for 5 cents, she made these paper airplanes. I will tell you the line of kids wanting these paper airplanes. I mean, she made like probably $20 just because she knew how to do the fold.
Right.
The fold of making the perfect airplane. It went the perfect line, you know? So anyway, yeah.
She knew her target market was going to be there. They're like, we don't want candles and soap. We want to fly things.
This is for the children, for the people. Oh, well, this has been so fun, Shannon. And I just can't even thank you for taking time out. I know you are so busy, and I just hope this will help so many people.
This has been super fun for me. Thank you.
Yeah. So anyway, I hope you have the best day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you for listening. Shannon really has been pivotal for me to make some decisions where I felt more confident, knowing that she has done some of the work before me and she's trialed and erred some things. And I definitely feel like in life, it's good to have those tools and those pieces to trying and failing. And really, they're not failures, they're lessons where you can build and grow and do whatever you want in life. So again, I hope that you got something out of this. We at Ohana do have some training programs that are coming up, a prenatal training, a training on just being a yoga teacher that is a 10-month long process starting in September. So if you want to know any of that, you can check the website at ohanayoganh.com. Have a wonderful day. I love you all.